What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
There's another idea. Beautiful death machines. Is there still time? Are there any drafts still being held before now and week one? Probably a couple. Hey, look, I mean, I won't pretend that I'm not so deep in the waters when it comes to fantasy that I can't, take a question or two. I'm certainly not going to make it all we do, but you know, if you listen, that I'm pretty far in. My brain is approaching absolute mush status. It's literally you wake up in the morning and you're on the clock in like 20 leagues. And in the morning for me is like 4:30 and then back to bed. And then you wake up a second time and there it is again. It's just like kind of never stops, but we'll get there. We'll make it to week one. Haven't missed a pick yet, which is kind of a miracle. The preseason is over. Bulldog is off this week. 803-0550 is the number here. Was it worth it? The preseason. Do we actually need an NFL preseason? I'm always happy when it's over. I think it's weird there are no games this week. It didn't used to be that you had basically 2 weeks between the preseason and the regular season, at least for most teams, but that's how it is now. And, you know, fine. But I've always liked this one point. Back when Peter King was on our show every week, and this is a long time ago now, but I mentioned this to him once, and he used it in his column, which is how if the preseason is so necessary, and I know the answer to this, like it really isn't, it's another chance to make money. If the preseason were really necessary, why doesn't Ohio State need a preseason? You know, Notre Dame is playing Texas A&M, I think, this week, and, you know, when you have top programs playing each other in week one. It's not conference play, if that's even a thing anymore. But it can be Ohio State playing Oklahoma 1 year recently. It can be whether or not you have an actual chance to win the national title or not, like how you do in that game. So I don't know. The kids manage. They just practice with themselves for a month or whatever it is. They're younger, not professionals, you know, at least it used to be like that. And somehow they're asked to beat somebody really good right away without having had multiple preseason games. That's always sort of made sense to me. But I'm neither confused about why it exists. It exists because you'll buy tickets and watch it, and so will I. So that's what we have. It's not really, more and more players than ever, I think, just skip the whole thing. Josh Allen played what in the end, a quarter in that game against the Bears? Just hardly any of it. What'll happen, whether it's the Bills or any team, is if they start the season slow, you know, they don't look like they're that sharp right away, then somebody will say, well, you should have used the preseason more. And, you know, I guess there's nothing we can do about that. But maybe they won't. I mean, not to assume that the Bills or any other team won't start fast. It's just you can't, in my opinion anyway, you can't run the risk of getting your best players hurt. And in terms of the Bills, is there anyone close to Allen in terms of his value? I mean, that's quarterbacks everywhere, but especially here, isn't it? I mean, for all the time, and I've brought this up recently, we talked about it, at the end of last season, what did you hear often about how the Bills need to be different in the future in order to get over the proverbial hump, not have it all be about Josh Allen? And I think this year, it looks like the roster looks like it's going to be more about him. Because for as Diggs' production declined late in the season, it was huge early. And, you know, we would have gone into last season thinking that Diggs was, you know, super important to their fortunes, and he was. And that's the year before, too. And a big reason why they lost these playoff games is that you weren't getting 9 for 90 anymore from Stephon Diggs. You were getting 3 for 28. And so, I don't know. Other things can work, but that's a big one. Obviously, this year, that's different. We put it this way last week. The idea was to take more off of Allen's plate, and I don't think they did that. I think there might be more on his plate this year as you have, you know, what's fair? I mean, a questionable wide receiver crop here. Lines are open for your calls. Like this one, receivers, has been very much like the discussion of the offseason, and not just locally. Like this is, I think, one of the more compelling, you know, curiosities in the NFL this year is what do the Bills receivers amount to with no Diggs and no Davis? They're always being compared to the Chiefs. And it looks like, I mean, this is not really what it was, but it looks like they are trying to see if they can't do what the Chiefs were able to do the last couple of years in terms of wide receivers. And that's just win anyway, right? I mean, Tyreek Hill 2 years ago gets traded to the Dolphins. Amazingly, they signed Juju Smith-Schuster again today, but signed him a couple of years ago. He was fine. Drafted Sky Moore in the second round. Nope. Just these trading back for Hardman last year. Nope. Trading for Kadarius Toney a couple of years ago. Not really. Like all these pretty good investments the Chiefs made at that position, none of them really worked. I mean, I guess Juju was okay. It wasn't a bust or anything. He wasn't a bust, but it wasn't like he was great. So the Chiefs make all these efforts to fill out wide receiver to improve, and they really don't, but they win anyway. And that's the Bills now, right? I mean, that's what a fan is going to maybe tell you, one way to tell you why this will work, because it worked for Kansas City. This is pretty, you know, simplified, but a big part of that is whether Dalton Kincaid can at all sort of get to or near the level of Travis Kelce, where you have with Kelce this, to say the least, security blanket for Patrick Mahomes, and he's much more than that. And can Kincaid be the guy in this passing game for Josh Allen? That is what that's what they might really need to have happen this year. He's a first round pick. They didn't draft a wide receiver in that draft. They drafted him with Knox here. And he's he's pretty much a wide receiver, but like that's what really, maybe that's the thing that really has to work for the Bills this year, is for Kincaid to be, you know, dominant or almost dominant, like super important. And I've been saying all summer, I mean, that is no sure thing. And I think it's no reflection on the player. I think he's fine. I think if they do succeed, you know, figuring out ways to get him down the field, then he should be up to that. I'm not, you know, questioning that. I just don't know if they can. I don't know if Joe Brady can do that, and if the Bills are going to end up there with Kincaid being like, you know, a real seam stretcher, as they put it. I think this is going to be a more conservative offense. Sure, it's Josh Allen. There will be downfield shots, but I still want to see what that means for Kincaid. And part of this is because I don't know that he'll even play more than 70% of the snaps. That's a guess of a number, but I've been saying all along, I think Knox plays. And so that doesn't mean Kincaid would play his position. He's never going to pass block Kincaid, right? Like if he's on the field, he's running a route or they're running the ball. But it's just so interesting. I mean, it feels like all we've talked about, but it's good. Just like what that's going to be, because I've said all summer, I feel like they have six slot receivers and he's one of them. And so is Coleman to me. Although Coleman, I don't think is going to be put in that role. Samuel is this for me. Shakir is this for me. So how do you line up? I mean, some of these guys are not going to be in the slot. Only two, you know, probably. So that is one of the best. You know, I play a lot of fantasy, and in fantasy, no doubt, this one is a huge topic as people try to figure out what it's going to amount to, because everybody wants to be in on a Josh Allen offense. As long as you know, if you were to know who the guy is, if it's Kincaid or Shakir or someone else, I mean, that information would be worth a lot if we just knew it. And that's not even like that the Bills are keeping that to themselves. Of course they are, but it has to work. So if you knew who the number one guy was going to be in this pass offense, man, like you could clean up if you happen to be right. Lines are open for you at 803-0550. The opener is a week from Sunday now, September 8th, Arizona. Bills don't have a ton of history with Arizona. The last one would be that Hale Murray play that actually was the Bills' last loss for a long time in 2020, but kind of a famous, incredible defeat there. Cardinals have not been here in many years. Dave Pasch is their play-by-play announcer. He and I worked together at Syracuse for one season. He was the voice of the Orange coming up and has had a great career. Dave is going to be on with me today at 4 to talk about the Cardinals. And I'm going to have Ray Davis on today as well, coming up at 5. Look forward to that. Have put in requests for a couple of players this week, and he was right up there for me as someone that I wanted to talk to. I wonder, if you have a thought on Davis, that'd be cool too, or whatever you think maybe your takeaway from the preseason would be, any of this receiver stuff. We've talked about vibes a lot, and I'm going to get back to that, just get a sort of a feel for where we think this is going in 2024. Davis was one of my, I'm not crushing college football tape or anything, but from what I knew, one of my favorite ideas for a running back in the draft, and he goes to the Bills in the fourth round on the Saturday, which I was really excited about. I'm glad the Bills didn't invest more in a running back. I didn't think they should have to, and a lot of teams did the same this year. So Davis is interesting to me. He went from Temple to Vanderbilt to Kentucky. College football now, anytime you look up somebody new, it feels like they've played at least two schools. But I'm excited to talk to him later. Always asking the vibes question of the fans, just sort of how it last week we did, how you feel right now versus a year ago. If you remember, I think it's pretty safe to say that this team has more doubters than it's had for a few years. The betting markets reflect that. Just the tone of the conversation this year, whether it's with fans, less so with fans, I would say, with guests, you hear analysts talk, it's more that the Bills have something to prove, and almost anybody will tell you that the roster looks weaker. I mean, the obvious veterans who have left are going to be a part of that. So, I mean, all of it. And I think while I've kind of been in that camp, not sure. How about that's a way to put it mildly, unsure of whether the Bills have what they need to compensate for the guys who have left. I do think, you know, probably they're good enough to be, you know, a playoff team or at least in contention, which takes us to like, you know, December. I would think this team is at least alive by that point. And a lot of things will change around the league between now and then. Injuries, you know, that can go for you or against you, even maybe a trade or something. We've talked about how when Diggs was traded, will there be a sort of a corollary move where the Bills get back up at receiver? And there never was, but who knows? Like, what happens with Davante Adams with the Raiders or just anybody around the league? A lot will change between now and then. I think more people are doubting the Bills than they have, and the Bills have had it for at least 3 years. I think that makes sense, but doesn't mean that has to be you. I mean, we're coming up on the opener. That's where optimism reigns supreme. 803-0550 for your calls. Here's Ryan on WGR. Hi, Ryan.
I love the show, man. So let me ask you a question. I asked Bulldog last week, and then I guess you were off, but regardless, he said he's not a fan of Carson Wentz. But how did the Bills pass up on Carson Wentz and sign Trubisky to a 2-year contract? And let me ask you something else. When the Bills and Chiefs face off each other, and they had to go back to quarterback, you got Carson Wentz for the Chiefs, and you got Trubisky or whoever else for the Bills. Who's going to win that game? This is so ridiculous how Brandon Bean is running this team.
How do we know that the Bills passed up on Carson Wentz?
Well, they signed him.
Well, that doesn't mean that they had to have passed up on him. It might mean that Kansas City was there first.
He was available.
Yeah, but, you know, he went to a different team. Look, anytime if a player signs with a team, it doesn't mean every other team passed him up. It just means that he did. It can mean that. I'm just asking you why you would assume that. I mean, I'm happy to talk about backup quarterback. I'm not a big Carson Wentz fan. I don't really care that he's on the Chiefs. Every quarterback looks better on the Chiefs, I think. So I don't really care about that. If you're asking me that, I think you are. I'm not either somebody that is big into Trubisky. what is that to say, right? I said about backup quarterback since you brought it up. It's not about vibes or about wide receivers. It's about Carson Wentz. But okay, that's you take the calls you get. I think what would be most interesting is if the Bills played for, if there were a way to do it, backup on another team. Maybe this happens after tomorrow. That might give you more upside. I think what teams do, I think this is what the Bills did. I think this is what the Chiefs did. What teams almost always do, I think maybe especially good teams, although this might not be right or make sense, teams are usually playing for a high floor at backup. What do they want? They want somebody that they're not afraid will get them killed if they have to play. So a team would rather have, I mean, Trubisky and Wentz are close enough, I would say. A team would rather have somebody like that, the Bills, the Chiefs, a lot of teams, would rather have somebody like that than the two names I think of first for this are Trey Lance and Malik Willis. Even Justin Fields. I don't know what if he makes the Steelers. I mean, he probably does. But one of these guys that athletically can really move the needle, but, you know, teams might not think. The Bills did call on Lance last year, if I remember correctly, but he ends up getting traded to Dallas. I think he's number three there, which can leave him, I mean, who knows? Willis in Tennessee, same thing. What I think is kind of cool is to think that your team can figure out creative ways to use those players. Maybe you don't want to risk, you know, them to injury like this. Like, that's what the Steelers should do with Fields. I mean, he's not going to start. But if he's going to be in uniform, a good team, in my mind, would figure out ways to incorporate him, to make him useful, to use his athletic ability. What the Bills have done here for however many years in a row is instead, you know, it's not like they have the world's worst backup, but they've played it safer there, and that's, you know, they would have to admit to that. That's what they're doing with these selections. So we'll see. I mean, we've got a lot to find out about here in the next 24 hours and a half, just what happens with cuts. And the Bills did cut Anthony Brown already, the quarterback who they signed last week, which might mean that things are trending up for Trubisky health-wise. They still also have Ben DiNucci. We're going to find all this out here by tomorrow, 4 o'clock, just what the plan is. And then after that, after all the cuts come out, we'll see more moves. I mean, the benefit, I guess, of having more time between the end of the preseason and the regular season opener is more of an opportunity to go get players. Not that you need to have time to do that, you sign those guys, but also incorporate them into what you're doing. I think the gap between the preseason and the opener, it's not like it's super long, but it can make it more logical that you might be more willing to take a chance on somebody with a little bit more time to get them acclimated into what you're doing. So many interesting situations around the league. I mean, New England is one. We had the Patriots play last night. Drake May, Jacoby Brissett. Brissett, interesting that his coach just bluntly said how May has been better than Brissett, who also has an injury now. It a little bit reminds me of the 18 Bills when Allen was a rookie. And I think, you know, maybe Sean McDermott wouldn't look at it this way. You know, for him, at least on the surface, it was a competition when Allen was a rookie that was won by Nathan Peterman. But I think they would have said the most important thing to them was when you make the move to Allen. And, you know, that's always been kind of a puzzle because they do so in the first, you know, the first game at halftime. Then he starts week two. I doubt that that was what they thought was best, but they did it. And that's what New England sounds like to me right now. We're not there, but it sounds like it could be so bad, offensive line, surrounding talent for their offense, that, okay, maybe Brissett is healthy and he starts their opener. They're at Cincinnati in week one.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One, Bills were at Baltimore that year. Maybe that's similar. And if it just goes so badly, you get to Drake May real quick. Does that have to be week two or anything like that? No, but the Patriots situation reminds me of the Bills from 6 years ago. Nobody's talking about the playoffs. They're all, you know, they shouldn't be. They're talking about what's best for the kid. And you have a team there where maybe it's so ugly that playing him, which I think is always what you'd prefer to do, get him the experience and also find out what you've got. They sound like they think it could just go so badly that they might want to avoid that. So, I mean, Allen did go in that first game and start the second game, and the Bills lost a lot that year. He also had an injury that season, but there was definite progress. And I think the Bills were better off having had Allen play that year. You see what you've got. You see what you need to work on. So does he. And I think they maybe were lucky. I mean, they did. It was by choice, but it wasn't their plan, I think. I think they were lucky that that happened, sort of in a backwards way, because the starter was just abysmal. All right, here we go. It's an interesting week. A lot of news will come. No game for a while. How do you feel? 803-0550 is the number. I'm the Cardinals with Dave Pasch at 4, and then Ray Davis will join me at 5. We'd love to hear from more fans about Or, I mean, we had one so far with a very specific question. That's great, too. But also just kind of a big picture. How do you see this all going? That's where my head is at as we get going here today. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off this week. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Would Drake May play if Jacoby's unavailable?
I would like to sit here and say 100%. He's our second best quarterback on our roster right now. Next question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure until I watch the film.
Okay. Jerod Mayo is figuring it out in New England, and I guess you can't blame him. First year on the job, replacing Bill Belichick, if you want it, as well. But you gotta be a little bit sort of, what, worried? No, something. When the coach is so flustered when giving an answer that he just sort of rushes in with, I have to watch the film. He does, really? There's still film yet for Jerod Mayo to watch? He doesn't really have an informed opinion. Of course he does. He doesn't want to share it. Yeah, he's sort of tying himself up, trying to talk about where that all stands. You know, my advice would be, with some experience in these matters, don't try so hard. Honesty's good. You don't even have to. What did Belichick do forever? Just, like, not even answer the questions. So sometimes I think that might be useful. Let's look for more of your calls here as we get going post-preseason. Sorry, it's weird. 803-0550 is the number. Let's go to Ed next. Hello, Ed.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, last year felt a little more positive than this year. I think more just because of the familiarity of what we had on the roster going in. You know, we added a few new pieces. You don't tip your hand. You don't scheme all that. But mm-hmm. I mean, with a whole lot of sense of you know, goodness or trust that we're going to be better than we were last year. I'm hoping, you know, week one we come out and just blow the doors off of Arizona and go from there. But right now it just doesn't feel very confident right now.
Yeah, I think that's the way most fans, or at least many fans, feel. Of course, yeah. I was looking at. Thanks, Ed. I was looking at the spreads this morning for the first several Bills games. I got to the Tennessee game, and then I moved on. So 7 weeks. They are not by much in each case. They are underdogs in four of their first six games. And for the last 3 years, they maybe were underdogs twice the whole season. When these lines would come out. I mean, last year was maybe once at Kansas City. They probably were an underdog in that game. Not always are they by kickoff, these games in Kansas City. They haven't been an underdog every time. But at Miami, at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets, the Bills are, I looked at DraftKings, the Bills are between a 1 and 3 point underdog in each one of those games. As of now, like I've said, the caller is talking about a lack of confidence, and that's many people. If you do not have a lack of confidence in the Bills and you're in the betting space, go get it, because you can bet all those games right now. And I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm saying that's one way to, you know, win at the game if you think a team is sort of mis-evaluated. They are underdogs four times in their first six. And again, I think that it's not the only games this year where they're an underdog. I think San Francisco is also one of these, and maybe there's another. They have not had that many games where they were a dog in years. So, you know, it's just another form that it takes when there's less confidence in a team. And also the Jets, which I don't know why exactly. We've talked about this a little bit last week. The Jets have steam when it comes to the betting markets. Like, the Jets have moved into the favorite position. Even they're at San Francisco Monday night, week one. I saw 3.5. Who's only getting 3.5 points at the 49ers in week one. I mean, Dallas would be an underdog, be a bigger underdog than that. Philadelphia, maybe Detroit. I think these teams would all be bigger underdogs at the Niners. The Niners have stuff. They have Ayuk to work out. You know, McCaffrey had a calf tweak or something. That's probably not relevant. I don't think people are really worried about him. Trent Williams now is not going to play, apparently, until he gets paid. Offensive tackle, one of the best in the league. Like they have some issues, but the Jets are only a 3.5-point road favorite at San Francisco week one. Everybody loves the Jets, right? Except Bulldog. Bulldog is holding firm. I haven't talked to him today, but he has been the one guy who's just get out of here with the Jets stuff. Rodgers is old. They're the Jets. They've always been the Jets. They'll always be the Jets. I don't believe in it. And, you know, that's why we love Bulldog. Just, nope. And you're all hoping he's right. Let's go to Wes next. Hello, Wes.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you. Same.
Longtime listener. It's the first time I've ever gotten on the line with you guys. I was wondering, you know, for some reason, and I don't even know why, but I had high hopes for Justin Shorter.
Oh, yeah?
And he was injured all last year, yet they kept him, so I assumed they had plans for him, you know. But I haven't heard a word about him all through training camp, and I was wondering if you had any inclination on what they might do with Shorter.
I think from, you know, reading Sal and, like yourself, not really hearing any buzz about him, he's probably in tough. You know, fifth round pick last year, right? He was a draft pick last year. So, you know, you're hoping, and I would think a team would be, you know, as the Bills did, you know, inclined to keep the player around, but never, they needed help at that position. He never got to that point or was given that opportunity. And then you're right. Like this year, it's been all about Shavers. This year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, recently, yes.
So, yeah, I think, you know, Sal has, thanks for the call, Wes. Sal has on Twitter his guess for the 53. He will not be on today. He's at a golf tournament today, but I'm sure we'll talk to Sal tomorrow, and he'll be all over the radio station as usual. He's got his, like, it's just right pin tweet, maybe, like the 53. And he does not have Shorter on the team. He does have Shavers on the team. He has Andreessen on the team. He has MVS making it. There's a little bit of guaranteed money there. So, yeah, Sal is your guy for that. I don't spend as much time, maybe no one does, on sort of the back end of the roster every year because, you know, to me it's just not that critical. You want to have good depth. Of course you want to, you know, anybody's willing to take interest in it, but it doesn't change much, if anything, for me ever for, like, what your team's chances are, like what we're talking about. So, I mean, good luck to Justin Shorter, but I also haven't heard much about him this summer. 803-0550 is the number. It is wide receiver, though. I mean, there is clearly the Bills have shown this by their actions. There is room. There has been room for somebody to emerge. And maybe Shavers has done it. It sounds like he probably has. And as we go into the regular season, it is still very sort of confusing how it's going to work out. Just difficult to know. And sometimes in the preseason, you get answers. It's both who plays and who doesn't. So you get a sense of what a team, who a team thinks it's more important to not risk an injury to. And then, of course, how they do. I mean, Shavers played plenty in the preseason. Ultimately, Coleman didn't. I mean, Coleman in Pittsburgh without Allen, but didn't play against Carolina. You know that Coleman is a big enough investment that they have a lot of plans for him. But, you know, he's also a rookie who, like any rookie, could use the work. And they decided to keep him out. He's fine. We're not questioning whether he's fine. We know he is. I don't know if he starts against the Cardinals. I think it has sounded all summer like Mac Hollins is somebody who's going to start and play a lot. And every time they're asked, they talk up Shakir. So he's definitely out there. Maybe not the first play, but he's definitely on the field a lot. And Samuel is injured. turf toe can be the kind of injury that lingers. I don't know what his status would be for week one. It hasn't been ruled out that he will play. It's too far away even to really know anyway. But if he doesn't play, that makes it easier. Just, can you believe it? I mean, that's the thing. Whether it's Justin Shorter or anything else, as we get to week one, and we almost have, it's kind of unbelievable that this is the group. Due respect. I like Samuel just fine. Shakir did well. Coleman, we'll see. It's kind of unbelievable that, you know, Mac Hollins and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are, like, relevant. And that's how it looks right now. Hollins is definitely going into the season. I mean, what a difference. The Bills have had this luxury that they achieved for themselves with Diggs and Davis, who was also a day three pick. But, you know, that was great for what he gave you. They've had this luxury going back years where really just, you know, we've argued about whether they should have someone else too, but they haven't had to worry about a thing at wide receiver. They stopped short of piling on to Diggs and Davis, and that's something we've debated many times, that strategy. But somehow, fingers are crossed, somehow we got to week one pretty much, and who's your number one? Can you believe that Shakir would be their number one going back to last year or ever? Again, due respect. I mean, he has done fine, and he might end up being super important here. It's just like, for as many analysts and fans that would tell you how interesting a prospect he is and what the upside might be, nobody ever has talked about him like a number one. And he might be it. Curtis Samuel has never been a team's number one receiver. Like, always liked him. Carolina had his moments. DJ Moore was there. Washington with McLaurin, never been a number one guy. And who is it, him? Maybe it's him. So, as we know, the mantra this year has been how we're going to try this now. We're going to try diversification in targets and whatnot, not lean into one guy. And the Bills are saying all the time how they think this could be better, as we've debated. But it is just amazing that the season is about here and their number one receiver is either Khalil Shakir or Samuel, who's hurt, or someone else. I mean, could it be? It's not going to be Coleman right away. It's not going to be Chase Claypool. That came and went. Just kind of amazing that this is the outcome. It's not the real outcome. The real outcome is in the games. But just like, you know, trying to set expectations for these players this year, I mean, has been very challenging, and it remains that as we get close to the opener. Lines are open for your calls. Dave Pasch will join me at 4. It's been many years since I've talked to Dave, voice of the Arizona Cardinals, among many jobs he has. I mean, he's been on ESPN for 20 years or so now, doing football and basketball. I've been looking forward to talking to Dave again, and today's the day. Also, Bills running back Ray Davis will join me later on. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Thanks for listening to WGR. Welcome back. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off. Dave Pasch, voice of the Arizona Cardinals, longtime voice at ESPN, will join me in about 15 minutes. I mentioned a few minutes ago to a caller that the Bills are underdogs in 4 of their first 6 games. Not by much. The biggest spread of those games is the Ravens game, week 4, Sunday night. All the games where they're underdogs, not surprisingly, are road games. And Baltimore is a 3-point favorite there. And of course, a couple of things, developments happen in week 1, and maybe it all flips. But the opener against Arizona, it's 5.5. And we talked to Joe Ostrowski last week, and he would be on Arizona, he said, at 5.5. That's really, I mean, the Cardinals are a little bit hyped, and I'll talk to Dave about this. But come on, right? I mean, come on. The Bills have had so much success, and they're at home against Arizona to start the season, and it's not even a touchdown. So that's interesting. Total is 48. 5.5, 48. So 27, 21, that kind of a game is the expectation. There are a lot of, actually, I don't know if this is right, just how it felt. A lot of high totals in week one. The preseason was incredible for how low scoring games were. I didn't check last week, but I mean, the Bills game was not low scoring against Carolina. But through the first 2 weeks, unders were like 27-6 or something like that. I mean, such low scoring games. Week one, regular season, does not look that way. I was trying to decide, like I mentioned earlier, having looked these up earlier today, what the most interesting week one line is, or maybe like sort of confusing even. I think it's something that Cleveland is favored at home against Dallas. CeeDee Lamb signed today. I don't know if that would move the line. It might, actually, because you might. We were getting to a point where people were starting to wonder if these receiver holdouts were coming back in time for week one. And Lamb is, after today. $38 million guaranteed for CeeDee Lamb in a massive contract from the Cowboys. Before that news, if not still, Dallas, a small favorite on the road in Cleveland. You've got the Giants. How does this feel? The Giants are a home underdog to Minnesota. Imagine the Vikings with expectations for them. Even if it were J.J. McCarthy, it might not matter here, but J.J. McCarthy, a rookie, and Darnold at quarterback. Of course, now it is Darnold with McCarthy hurt. Imagine like Darnold being a road favorite week one in the NFL. That is the situation. Vikings, Giants. Another one for me would be New Orleans, only a 3.5-point favorite at home against Carolina. That seems slight when you're playing a Panthers team that was just so brutally bad last year. I thought, you know, Bryce Young, for what it's worth, looked good here. It's not worth a lot, probably, because he's playing backups and just such a small sample versus what it looked like last year. But there's some hope for him. He was a first overall pick just last year. And he's got a coach now that people have been really impressed with in terms of quarterback play. That's Geno Smith. That's Baker Mayfield, just in the last 2 years. So that would make somebody be more optimistic for Bryce Young. And, you know, Deontay Johnson in this game. He's got Adam Thielen. They're veterans. He's got Leggett from the back of the first round after that trade with the Bills, pick 32 to pick 33. So, you know, there's some talent there and definitely some experience for Bryce Young. But, you know, I'm not drafting a lot of Bryce Young, just so you know. I know you were wondering. You don't need to draft a quarterback like Bryce Young in the vast majority of fantasy leagues, because why would you? I think one, since we're here, amazing that I got here, I know, kind of, it's not like it has to be called a mistake that people make in drafts, but if you're playing with your buddies, 12 teams, your basic fantasy league, you should not need a second quarterback. Unless they make you, for some reason, take a backup quarterback, you really shouldn't need one. It's not just like if you draft Josh Allen. If you draft Josh Allen, what is the point of drafting a backup quarterback? I mean, there won't be so many of them drafted, or there shouldn't be, that you couldn't, if there's an injury, you should be able to find your way to like Stafford or somebody like that pretty easily on waivers. You might have 20 quarterbacks drafted in a league like that, you know, your basic home league, and that leaves a guy, talking about Bryce Young, as somebody you could just get if you were to lose your starter. And it's not just if your starter is elite like that. I think you can go all the way down to Prescott. You can go down to Tua, Lawrence, Herbert, even maybe Herbert might be a stretch this year, but maybe not. A lot of people are pointing out that like his draft status got way down here with the changes to the Chargers, but he has been so productive that we might be missing the obvious here when it comes to him. Anyway, you shouldn't need to draft a second quarterback. You know, just risk it. You're never going to start him. Just that 1 week. Unless you have an injury, just that one bye week, and shouldn't be too hard to find your way to somebody for whenever that is. Dave Pasch next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.